CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Monday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We're glad you joined us. Looking forward to being with you for about the next hour as we get together every weekday afternoon answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, looking at current events through a biblical perspective. Also, what we hear in church is even in the Bible at all. And so if you've got a question, you've been reading your Bible on your own, someone's asked you something, hey, that's why we're here, to help you do a better job for our King. Joining me today, special guest, featured CSN speaker on the Weekend Time, Scott Parker from Festus, Missouri, Calvary Chapel. Hi and welcome.
Hello, Mike, and good Monday to you. And it is such a privilege to be with you today as we start another week answering our listeners' questions. And it's always a blessing, Mike, to be on with you.
Always a blessing to be with you, just outside of St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Reminding you, a church alive is worth the drive. So.
Yes, it is.
I want to encourage you to check that out. I think you'll enjoy that. You know, Scott, lots of things going on in the world. And how are things there at Festus?
Oh, things here are great, Mike. We are truly blessed. Yesterday, we just had a lot of visitors, new people coming, and we're seeing that regularly now. And it's just people are hungry, you know. People are looking for churches and pastors that won't sugarcoat the Word of God. Won't just give them 3 points in a poem, but open the Bible and let's read it, let's study it, and let's see what God has to say to us. And of course, at Calvary Chapel Festus, just like at your church there at the river, Mike, it's what we do. We teach the whole Bible, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. And right now we're in Revelation chapter 11, and people are excited to hear about what is going to happen in the future because we're getting so close. And it's really interesting that we can actually read the book of Revelation and kind of see where we're at in time and history. And also, too, you know, Revelation, a lot of people, Mike, have this idea that because the book of Revelation, you know, is so much and there is so much revealed about the future to come, that they forget that the book of Revelation is not the book of Revelations, but Revelation. It's about Jesus Christ. It's the revealing of Jesus. And so as you go through the book of Revelation, no matter where we're at, there's so much there, Mike, that applies to our life now, especially knowing that Jesus could come at any time. And so it's exciting, and it's really just awesome to see people that are hungry for the Word of God.
You know, I think there's a real hunger in our land.
Yeah.
For truth now. I think everybody realized the American news media has lied to the American public, only giving people partial facts to lead them to the wrong conclusion. Not really reporting the news, but really just commentary. You got these different news outlet. You know, you got the Guardian for communist propaganda. You've got these different magazines and things like that. And you realize that this stuff has poisoned America. And we see the high prices everywhere. You know, I went into Home Depot the other day to buy a faucet, a little brass faucet that goes on, you know, on the side of your house. They used to be $5.60 or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's $15.
Yeah,
man, I'm going, everything costs so much. My heart breaks for all the kids in the United States that are coming out of high school, you know, thinking about maybe getting married, having a family, buying a house. Man, pretty much it's out of reach for everyone anymore. And I just look at that and go, wow, we have got some serious issues. Then Hamas is with Israel. Israel's back at it again. They had a prisoner swap, hostages, I guess they call them. And Hamas got back their hostages and Israel got theirs back in a box. Yeah, they were all dead, yeah. Most yeah. of them. And Israel's outraged. So when the time for the truce was over, Israel went back at it again, and rightly so. They said the nation of Israel was so grossed out by getting their hostages back dead, a woman, two of her children dead. And at first they tried to pass it off as somebody else. And so anyhow, you look at the Middle East and you just go, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Yeah. I believe this is why the Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Because again, why is it such a hot spot? Because if the devil can disrupt Israel and all those things concerning Israel in the last days prophecies, this is what's so disastrously horrible about replacement theology, where the church has replaced the nation of Israel. None of the predictions concerning Israel apply to Israel anymore. God has nothing more to do with Israel than he does with Guatemala. That's what they teach.
Yeah,
but it's not true. Jerusalem is very key to understanding end time prophecy. This is why I believe the devil is seeking to destroy it. Because if he can destroy Israel, then the prophecies concerning Israel and the Jewish nation cannot come true. And the devil and his warped mind thinks he'll win. People have asked that question. You know, if you read the Bible, you know he knows the Bible. He quoted it to Jesus. If all this is true, why doesn't the devil just cry, uncle, we're all out of here, everything's over? Because pride blinds to reality. And whether you're Lucifer, whether you're a demon, or whether you're just a person in rebellion to God, pride blinds us to the reality of God's omnipotent plan. And this is what is so crazy that people don't seem to get. That's why the Bible says pride is at the root of every sin. I'm going to do what I want, never mind what God says. And so when we look at this, we see this whole picture unraveling. And again, the Bible says Jerusalem will be a cup of trembling to the entire world. Friends, it is right now. Iran is, they said, just days away, weeks away from a nuclear weapon as they continue to refine their plutonium. They said right now they believe they have enough for a single atomic bomb, and they're not done. And they're getting help, of course, from the Russian buddies because of the oil they're getting, and, of course, North Korea, all these different things. We are in exciting times, everyone. And Jesus said, work for the night's coming when no one can work. And I believe we are so close being about our Father's business. If you got a question, ask us, 8888 Ask CSN. We're going to go ahead and go to the phones, and we have Bob on the line, Oregon. Hi, and welcome.
Hi. I sure appreciate you guys' show, and, you know, what you just said is part of why I do, is that you speak the truth, you know, and it's really sad that most people do not know what the Bible says. And
or care.
Not willing to look at it. But I was wondering, I was reading in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 11, where he gives some numbers there. And I was just wondering, I couldn't find anybody who really made any sense out of it and really said what they meant. So I was wondering if you guys had any ideas about those numbers.
In Daniel chapter 12, right at the end of the chapter, it mentions 1,290 days, and then it has another number. I believe it's like 40 extra days. Most people believe that at the end of that extra 40-day number is when Jesus Christ will rule and reign from Jerusalem. Now, right now, we just had a new president. He's only been in office now probably about 40 days is all. And we see the change of government. We see the change of people. We see all this stuff that's coming out now. Most people believe that when Jesus Christ comes back, the first number, it'll be the second number when he sets up his thousand-year reign. It'll be those days in between where he sets up his new government. Your thoughts, Scott?
Yeah, that's right, Mike. And it's very interesting because, again, if you look at Daniel chapter 12, verse 11, it says, and from that time, the daily sacrifice will be taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up. Now, when is that? Well, we know from Daniel chapter 9 in the revelation that God gave to Gabriel to give to Daniel that there in verses 24 through 27, we know that that happens at the midway point of the tribulation period. And so the tribulation period is 7 years. So midway point is 1,260 days. But there's another 1,260 days, which is the second half of the tribulation, which is referred to as the Great Tribulation. Jesus called it that. You go to Matthew chapter 24, you'll see beginning at verse 15, Jesus talks about there will be great tribulation in those days. And then he talks about, the first thing he talks about is the abomination of the desolation, which again starts the second half of the tribulation period. So that's the midway point. And what's interesting, though, is Daniel here mentions not just 1,260 days, but here he mentions 1,290 days. So there's a 30-day period. So here's what we know. As we put the scriptures together and we look at the book of Revelation, Jesus comes at the end of the tribulation period. Jesus comes after the 1,260 days. At the end of the tribulation, Jesus comes. And of course, when he comes, we see that in Revelation 19, and we have the Battle of Armageddon, where Jesus comes and destroys the Antichrist and the armies that have gathered with him against Israel. And we see all of that. And so that's going to happen at the end of the 1,260 days. Now, what's interesting, there are, as Mike said, there's a couple of events that need to happen. Because when you do come to verse 12, he says, blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. So now there's, as Mike said, there's an extra 40 days after the 1,290 days. So what's going on? Well, as Mike said, there's a few things that have to happen. We know according to Matthew chapter 25 that when Jesus returns, one of the things that he's going to do is he's going to judge the nations. And that's where he's going to, it's normally called the judgment of the sheep and goats, where Jesus is going to gather the nations before him, and he's going to, like a shepherd, he's going to separate them, the sheep from the goats, and he's going to judge them. And if you read Matthew 25, it appears that he's going to judge the nations based upon, now this is after the tribulation period. Remember, this has to do with what Zechariah and Zechariah 14 called the residue of the tribulation, whoever's left of those nations on the earth. Jesus is going to judge them based on how they treated the Jewish people during the tribulation. Because, and I say that, it's important because Jesus says, when you've done this to the least of these, my brethren, speaking of the Jewish people, you've done it to me. And so what's interesting is when you read Revelation chapter 12, it talks about how when the Antichrist commits this abomination of desolation, desecrates the rebuilt Jewish temple, as Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he's going to set himself up in the temple, sit in the temple as if he is God, demand to be worshiped as God. He's going to put an image of himself there in the temple and demand that worship. That's the abomination of desolation that's spoken of. So what's interesting is we know in Revelation chapter 12, when that happens, just as Jesus said in Matthew 24, what's going to happen is the Jews are instructed then to leave and go seek refuge. And we see that in Revelation 12, and that's going to last. That persecution of the Antichrist against the nation of Israel is going to last 1,260 days, it tells us there in Revelation chapter 12. And so that's very interesting. So Jesus comes back at the end of the 1,260 days, and then there's another 30 days that has to happen. And then after that, he said, blessed is he who comes to the, that actually comes through that and comes to the 1,235 days, which again is another 40 days. So what we have in there, as Mike said, Jesus, it comes to the earth, he defeats the Antichrist, he's going to then set up his kingdom, set up his throne on earth, and then he's going to judge the nations. That's why Daniel says, blessed is he who waits and comes to those 1,335 days, because that means not only did they survive the tribulation, but they also survived the judgment of the nations, and they come into the millennial reign. And so the 30 days and the 45 days that's mentioned there, again, it's like Mike said, there's a setting up. Jesus is going to set up his kingdom, which will be here on earth. And so that'll take a little time, 30 days or so. And then there's going to be the judgment with the 45 days too. And so when you really put all the scripture together, it begins to make sense as you look at it, what's going to happen. So, Mike?
Yeah, and the Bible says we'll rule and reign with him, so we will be part, yes, I believe, of the judges and things like that. And like I tell everybody, every day you're living right now, you're determining your position in eternity forever. Wow. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, every day becomes pretty valuable, doesn't it? So being about your daddy's business, so important. Just want to encourage you and hope that answers your question for you. And I believe we might have lost the call, but that should answer it for you. And there's that interim between he actually touches his foot on the Mount of Olives, the second coming of Christ, to him setting up that 1,000-year reign, or is the discrepancy what you find there in those days, why the numbers aren't the same. But again, we see that even here, we see how God does that. And blessed are those that make it through that. In other words, you made it through the sheep and the goats separation, and you get to go into the millennial reign of Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. We'll rule and reign with him. So it's always good to find yourself in scripture. If you like, call back and we'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. With that, we'll go to Debbie. Again, 8888, ask CSN is the number to call. Debbie, Dallas, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much. I really appreciate your ministry. I wanted to ask you if you had seen or heard of the episodes that are airing on Amazon Prime right now called the Book of David. My husband and I watched the first episode, and we were pretty disturbed by the fact that they talked about David being an illegitimate child, and that when he went to slay Goliath, Goliath's spear actually wounded David, knocked him down, and he was bleeding. And neither of those I've ever read in the Bible, and I just wanted to get your take on that.
Pure junk. That's all I can say. They're distorting God's word. They're preaching another gospel. I reject it, as I also reject the chosen as well. I'm not saying the chosen doesn't cause some kind of maybe biblical awareness, but the problem is only about 10% of the chosen is Bible. Everything else is Hollywood production, made up, you know, Jesus not healing one of the disciples. And every once in a while, we'll even get a calling around every man and answer, why didn't Jesus heal his disciple and he healed others? I go, he always healed his disciples. What are you talking about? Well, no, not in the chosen. You got Jesus rehearsing for the Sermon on the Mount while the disciples were building the stage. And those ladies that were around Jesus getting his clothing all adorned perfectly for that great delivery. His mother comes in and says, you're a good son. And he said, Mom, don't compliment me now. Wait till I get done with my Sermon on the Mount. And that way, if I blow it, you know, you just look at it and just shake your head. What kind of insanity is that? And what is so sad is the American people who don't know God's word, whether concerning King David or the life of Jesus based on his word, begin to believe this junk that's been put in place. People say, yeah, but it helps people believe in God. Yeah, okay, what God? Not the God of the Bible, not the God of miracles, not Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, not Jesus who didn't do anything wrong. See, this is the problem. Jesus very clearly warned about these days that we're in. And almost all the New Testament prophets spoke about false doctrine coming in. And how does it come in? How can it be so popular? I believe it comes in on the media. And it's being passed off as truth. And it's as big a lie as the American news media. Your thoughts, Scott?
You're right, Mike. And, you know, Debbie, one thing you have to remember. Now, I haven't seen the first episode yet. I was planning on watching it. And the reason is because of some that I do I do regard as good, solid Bible teachers have been promoting it on radio and TV and such. And so I was planning on watching it. It is interesting, Mike, because it's directed by John Irwin. He's the guy, you know, who directed Jesus Revolution, that movie. And though that movie was based on Greg Laurie's life and it was a lot about Calvary Chapel, everything in that movie, of course, you know, wasn't exactly the way it all happened to the T either. And I think that's what you have to remember too in watching some of these, especially when we're watching, you know, interpretations of the Bible. Boy, there are, I'm still yet to really see one, I think, that's perfect, you know, because they want to keep the interest of people. They want to, you know, entertain people. And so they either take away from the Bible or they add to the Bible, which, by the way, is something we're not supposed to do according to Scripture. God says he'll put his curse upon people who add and take away from his word. So we need to be careful with that. But the thing is, you know, when people do this sort of thing and make these movies, you know, they use their artistic license to make it interesting and such. And so, you know, the bad thing about that is some people walk away who don't know the Scriptures or don't have discernment because they don't know what the Bible says, walks away with the wrong idea about what happened, you know, and about God and stuff and such. So that can be very dangerous, and we really have to watch that. So, yeah, Mike, I totally agree with you. You know, we really, to watch this stuff, you really got to be discerning and know your Bible. Because I just like what you said about The Chosen, you know, we were watching it, you know, through the seasons as it was going on. Of course, it was driving me crazy. But when we got to that part, Mike, that you talked about where the disciples are building the stage, and all of a sudden he gets his disciples together like a modern mega pastor does with his creative team and go, you know, basically, now how are we going to make this happen and make this relevant to everybody? And how, you know, and they were figuring out.
He starts asking advice.
How do I preach my message?
The disciples. Insanity.
Right. It's crazy. Yes, exactly. It's unbiblical. So we just got to be careful with these kind of things and be discerning. So anyhow, Mike.
Yeah, there are some good ones out. If you go to blueletterbible.org and you go to their where they have some movies, they have the book of Luke, the entire book of Luke, and it's all accurate. What you hear for the narration is the Bible being read to you, the colors that you see on their clothes, the buildings in the background, everything is accurate. It was filmed on location. And it's one of the best things that was ever done. It was produced by the Genesis Project, and Blue Letter Bible has that. And it's about to go through the entire book of Luke on video. Is about 5-6 hours long, but it is so good. It's broken into segments, and I strongly recommend, if you like that kind of video to help you memorize Scripture, that is excellent. And again, you'll see it's about, I think it's about 35 segments long. I mean, each segment's like 45 minutes or something, or 15 minutes long or something. But there's a bunch of them in there. And so you don't have to do it all at once, but you can go through that. Very good. Again, Blue Letter Bible, and then they have that thing in there where they have some archive movies, and I think you really do it. The movie Jesus is a condensed version of that, down to about an hour and 15 minutes, and which we give away here on To Every Man an Answer. And it's just the shortened version of that, but the long version is so good. And I've watched it several times. Love it. What you hear is the Bible being read to you. And that is so good, and it's acted out, and it's excellent. So just want to encourage you, check that out. I think you really like that, Debbie, and hope that helps.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the information.
Stay in line, and I will send you that movie, Jesus, as well as Time to Grow, a little book, and then also God of Wonders. Great to share with your friends and family. Let's go to Miriam, Boulder City, Nevada. Hi, welcome.
Hello.
Yes, Miriam, we're here. How may we help?
A question. What is your opinion on this ministry attacking other ministries? Like Joel and Meyer. But, you know, it's like from church to church. You don't know what to believe.
Well, Paul did, and others did, because the problem is, you believe wrong, you're going to live wrong. And any teaching that puts you in the center of your Christianity is false. Just, you can have what you want. Just use your faith words. I just want to visualize it. It's mine. I know it's mine. Every time I walk by that refrigerator and I see that picture of that new car that I stuck on the refrigerator, I go, I'm claiming that. That's mine. That is heresy. Because you don't know that God may call you to the foreign mission field in 2 weeks. What do you need Americanus Maximus for on your refrigerator that you're claiming? Thy kingdom come, Jesus said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So if you're going to teach God's word, I think unfortunately sometimes, as Paul did, as the Bible does, as Jesus did, you have to say they're off there. Now, if you believe that, that can mess you up and mess your whole Christianity up. Hope that your thoughts.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, also, Miriam, the thing you have to remember is attacking a ministry.
It's different than
exposing. Different. Yeah, exactly right, Mike. It's different than exposing error. It's different than discerning what's going on in the ministry and then making that known so people aren't led astray. There's a difference between the two. Now, I know in our culture, because we are so sensitive and we wear our feelings, you know, right on our sleeves, we don't like, you know, to be told that we're wrong or that we could be misled or misleading others. And pastors don't like that and churches don't like that. But we know that every church and every minister and every TV preacher or even radio preacher is every one of them, you know, are not correct. There are some that are wrong. They're teaching wrong. And so we're told to discern those things with the word of God. In fact, if you go to Acts chapter 17, when Paul took the gospel to Berea, he went to the synagogues there, and it said that those people, actually what they did is they took what the apostle Paul had to say, and they examined it and measured it to scripture to see if the things that Paul was saying was true. Now, if the early church can discern whether what Paul is saying is true by the word of God or not, then how much more can we discern what modern preachers say today by the word of God? And we all should be humble enough to receive that. Mike?
Amen. You know, what we're concerned about, does it line up with the entirety of God's word? Coming up on a break, no one go away. We'll have a lot more right after this. We'll be right back.
In 2007, when Dan Steiner, president of Preborn, cried out to God, "What can I do for you?" the answer came loud and clear.
I sense God's broken heart over the issue of abortion. You see, he sees every little baby that's being formed in the mother's womb, and it breaks his heart to see when the lifetime that he has planned for them is taken from them violently so often. But if we can get a mom into one of our clinics and show her her baby, and she has that close encounter of the best kind in her womb, she will choose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
Let's see, if something costs less, a lot less, but people are actually happier with it, that sounds like something to look into. And that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard joining MediShare can save you or your family up to $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true. People are just happier with it. They love being part of something that reflects and promotes their values and what they believe in. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years now, and members have shared more than $7 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network, so yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care, whether you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan that you're happy with. Here you go. You can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes, a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. It's 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE, 855-91-BIBLE.
And we want to welcome you back. Part two of Terry Mann Answer here on this Monday afternoon with Scott Parker. I'm your host, Mike Kessler, and we're going to go back to the phones. And again, I believe that we might have lost our caller on that. But again, you know, we're not trying to say we're right. Please, everybody listening, I'm trying to say what the Bible says is right. And these people that take and cults that take and build an entire theology upon a piece of a verse or a couple of verses, completely disregarding the rest of the verses that bring balance to that thought, there's where your problem is. Again, you believe wrong, you're going to live wrong. And your destination may turn out to be wrong as well. You see, that's why the Bible says to earnestly contend for the faith. What does that mean? The word contend implies some kind of an exchange. Well, that's what we have to do. And again, when I see people in these cults out trying to earn what God has given them by knocking on doors and giving all their money, jumping through all their church dogmas and rituals, you know, and you might just make it. The Bible says Jesus clothes us in his righteousness. We have the assurance of salvation. Hey, I like that. That's really good news. And see, this is the problem. But you cannot oftentimes tell people the truth if they're holding on to a lie. You see, I like the idea of a religion that says I can have whatever I want. I use my incantation. I use my faith words. Whammo, I get what I want. Positive confession, blab it and grab it. It's mine, baby. Well, that's not what the Bible says. In fact, Paul says, no longer I live, but Christ who lives within me. There's a junk Christianity that's out in the world today that you are in control. After slipping Jesus in your pocket, you can climb to the top and be the king of your universe. Nope, that ain't what the Bible says. When we come to Christ, we become the servant of all. And friends, that's a lot different than this idea of everything goes my way. In fact, I have found more in my life after I accepted Christ than as I live for him. Oftentimes, it never goes the way I want it to go. But it goes the way God wants it to go. And being it goes the way God wants it to go, I cross paths with a lot of different people I normally would have never met in my life to help them along this road of life. So be very, very careful when you hear anybody saying, hey, you're in the center. You know, I'm just going to use my positive faith words. There is nothing like positive faith words. Hey, listen, you know, to tell somebody if they don't repent, they'll die in their sins and go to hell. Mm-hmm. We just don't talk about that at this church. We only talk about positive things. We don't talk about anything that brings conviction or anything like that because, you see, you can have it your way. That's what we want to do. We want to have it your way because your way is the only way and your way is the most important way. Scary stuff and very, very dangerous.
Yeah. Hey, Mike.
You want to be about your father's business. Yeah, Scott.
Yeah, and exactly. You talking about that? Here's what's interesting, right? The most successful Christian that we would, I think all of us would agree, was the Apostle Paul. And look how much he suffered. He was given great revelation directly from the Lord. I mean, there's no one that could, you know, if we're going to measure Christians, that could measure up to the Apostle Paul. But yet he said, I preach one thing, Christ and him crucified. And it's amazing because, Mike, just what you're talking about there, all those preachers that preach that way, there's no cross in their message. Then that's the real problem there. I know Billy Graham, when he was asked, later in his life, if you could change anything in your preaching, what would you have done? He said, I would have preached on the cross and the blood more. And so, you know, it's amazing to me because you see Paul suffered greatly. And then even Paul, his own image of himself at the end of his life, writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy, said that after all these years, what he learned about himself is I am the chief of sinners. And that's humility. That is not arrogance and that is not self-centeredness. That is just absolute what happens to a man when he's totally surrendered to Christ. And so, but anyway, Mike, I really appreciate you sharing that and saying that because it's the truth. We have a lot in a lot of churches, a crossless Christ, a crossless Christianity, and it's to our detriment.
Yeah, it's come to the cross and die, not come to the cross and be king.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. See, and we've lost that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I really believe that we just, as we go back and just be the servants that God called us to be, we're going to be blessed. Again, you can listen. When you listen to the way they teach, do they teach the Bible or a bunch of great, warm, fuzzy ideas? It's how you know. Hope that helps and shed some light on it for you. Now, we had somebody write in here very quickly, and then we're going to go to Rebecca. But they wrote in, and they said, okay, let's go to Rebecca. We'll just go to Rebecca first. Okay, Rebecca.
Yes.
Florence, South Carolina. Hi, welcome.
Last year, I was listening to Scott Parker, Calvary Chapel Festus. He was in the study of Romans 6, and I'm telling you, I never heard anyone preach like he did when it came to the death, burial, and resurrection. When Christ died, our old man, oh, I'm about to shout while I'm sharing this, our old man died with him, and when he rose again, and we are coming up to the Easter season, we rose with him, and I'm telling you, I just want to let him know that that blessed me.
Amen. Rebecca, we always love to hear that CSN blesses people. Scott.
Yeah.
Thank you for being obedient to God's word.
Oh, Mike, let me say this. First of all, Rebecca, thank you so much. Those words are so kind and encouraging. God bless you. Thanks for listening. Keep listening. Now, let me say this. Those teachings we did through Romans, we're still doing them on the radio. In fact, we took a break for several months and we're back at it now. And so we've edited up to verse 13 in Romans 6, and that's what we're airing now. And we are now going to be airing verse 14 and on. We're going to be editing and airing that. So keep listening, because the rest of Romans 6 is really good too. And it's coming up on the radio all across the country here real soon. Right now, in fact, we're going to be starting to do that. So anyway, thanks so much. And then Mike, I also just want to say to you too, thank you so much for allowing us to share our sermons and what God has given to us and our church to be able to share that with the nation. It's a blessing. It's a very humbling thing. And it's such a privilege, Mike, to be able to share what God's given to us here on CSN. So I just want to thank you and everybody at CSN for allowing us this wonderful privilege to do so.
Yeah. God's really good. And yes. Rebecca, I'm glad you're blessed. Did you have a question?
Yeah, I just want to know why preachers won't preach on that more to encourage the believers. I go to a chapel just right up the road. I love Bobby, and his teachings are good, because I have a friend that wants to know why he's so slow in the scriptures. I like to know why some preachers are slower in the scriptures than other preachers. But yet I don't remember him ever bringing out that we had something to do with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, as Scott did, and that blessed me.
Amen. I think there's a lot of reasons, Rebecca. Mm-hmm. Number one, I think a lot of churches get into debt. And I think a lot of times pastors are scared to offend their congregation. They don't want them to leave, because then they won't have the offerings that they need to pay for their bills and things. I think that's one thing that can cause it. Number two, I think another thing is many ministers don't know the Bible very well. They went through seminary, perhaps, or were called, however, but they didn't know the Bible very well. Now, it's really hard, as Paul tells Timothy, preach the word. It's hard to preach the word if you don't know the word. And what we know is not what we read. It's know by experience what we've seen God do in our own life. So I believe it's a combination of those things that cause a person to be able to teach God's word. You have to know it. Second of all, you have to believe it. Now, a lot of people have an intellectual approach to God, but they lack the heart and saying, yeah, you know, this is really true. I've seen God work in amazing ways. And so, you know, you'll go into the congregation and they'll say something like this. Hi, everybody. Glad you're here. Ain't God good? I'm so happy. Their inflections are backwards. Now, if you're really sold on something, like maybe your team won in the Super Bowl, hey, man, did you see my team win? Wow, it was great. You're excited about it. The problem is a lot of them, they're just not excited about God. And I'll tell you something. I can see how people can get excited about a baseball game or a football game. 2 days later, no one cares. How much more should we be excited about our relationship with the King of Kings? Oh, I'm not saying jumping up and down on chairs and swinging on chandeliers. But, you know, there's an old saying, if you're saved and you know it, then your life will surely show it. And I do believe that that does reflect in our general countenance. And I believe that when we walk with God, we see that. So I think a lot of times ministers are scared to offend people. I think sometimes ministers don't know the word very well, and so they can't really share the full counsel of God's word. I think some ministers may not even be saved. It's just a job to them. And I think we've seen some of those on TV of late. It's just a gig, if you will. That's pretty scary stuff. I think another thing is that are they doctrinally sound in what, in fact, they are saying? And I think those are just some. I think there's probably, we could spend the whole afternoon mm-hmm. on thoughts and motivations of why people do what they do, Scott.
Yeah. Well, and Mike, I think of the obvious one, at least for me. Here's why I taught through Romans 6 is because I was teaching through the book of Romans. And I was teaching through the book of Romans because I was teaching through the New Testament. And I'm teaching through the New Testament because I'm teaching through the Bible. So what I'm saying is, you know, if as pastors we just do topical messages or mostly topical messages, then we're the ones choosing the topics and the things that we want to talk about. And, you know, Pastor Chuck Smith, in all the years that I heard him, you know, in person at pastors' conferences, he constantly, instructed us pastors to simply teach the Bible, simply to teach the whole Bible, you know, to teach it book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, because that way the pastor can't decide what subjects he's going to teach on, what subjects he's not going to teach on. And also, when you're going to teach on the whole Bible, you got to know the Bible. So you got to really dig in and study. For Mike and I to be able to give people what the Bible says, we have got to spend many, many hours. I mean, you know, for one 45-minute to an hour teaching, you know, we have got hours upon hours of study and preparation time to be able to do that. And a lot of pastors don't want to do that. A lot of pastors just get their sermons from the internet or order them from some organization where they'll give them the videos and the notes and everything. And they just get up there and basically just act it out, which I think is very sad. That's what a lot of people do. But I think the key to all that is finding a pastor who realizes that his responsibility is to do what Paul said there in the book of Acts chapter 20, when Paul was there with the Ephesian elders and he told them that he had not shunned to declare to them the whole counsel of God. Every bit of the Bible Paul had, he shared it with them for those 3 years that he was there. And so that's what we need to do as pastors. And so that's why I was teaching Romans 6, and that's why I was getting so impassioned into it, is because I had to delve deep into it to be able to explain it simply to the congregation. And so I think really that also, as Mike said, a lot of motivations, but boy, that has everything to do with it. I do know in the past, it's been a long time ago, but I know people who have come to our congregation. And actually, Mike, this is interesting. From listening to CSN Radio, okay, people have come from other churches to our church, and they've said things like, we asked our pastor at our last church before we left if he would teach through the Bible. And the pastor said, well, I could do that, but it's a whole lot more work. And I'm dumbfounded. You know, I'm just like, wow, okay, that guy needs to find something else to do for a living, because pastoring is not to make a living. We do it because we're called to do it. And I know for Mike and I, it's a pleasure, it's a passion of ours to study the Bible and then to preach and teach it. So anyhow, Mike.
Yeah, what else would we do? So. You know, and usually, you know, I always had a zeal for sharing the Lord with people. I'd go down to Newport Beach and just share with people that were there. And I didn't walk up to them with a Bible. I wasn't a Bible thumper. I'd just walk up and start talking to them. Jeff Smith and myself, Chuck's son, we were down in Newport Beach about a year and a half ago. And Jeff, just out of the blue, this group of kids came in. And he just looked at all of them and said, I'm going to buy you all these chocolate-covered bananas. And so the girl was the kind of the head person was really amazed that we would do that. And so when it was done, then we just started sharing the gospel with them out on the street. We closed the restaurant down. They shooed us out. That didn't stop it. We went outside and went on the street and just continued sharing about last days. And it was so amazing. Jeff got a lot of pictures of it, and then he'd share, and it was just really incredible. But whether you get paid or not, it doesn't make any difference. Right. I always would share the Lord with anybody I met, and it isn't something you flip on and flip off like a light switch. It's something you are, and that's what's good, to be born again. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. Rebecca, I hope that helps.
Something else to share.
Yes? Oh, we lost you. Oh, well, you can call us back there. Sorry about that. We had a call. We had somebody that wrote us a minute ago and asked this question. Tell me about the gift of discernment. Now, first of all, I want to share this with everyone. There's no such thing as the gift of discernment. That's right. There's the gift of discerning of spirits, but there is no gift of discernment. Discernment comes by knowing God's word. That's where we get the understanding of what's acceptable and non-acceptable to God. There is no gift of discernment. There's the gift of discerning of spirits, and there's a big difference between that. Now, we remember that this gift is important. There was a demon-possessed girl following Paul and his companion around saying, these are the men of the Most High God that show the way to salvation. Listen to them. The Bible said this went on many days until I believe they finally deduced that this is not of God. This was actually of the devil. Why was this woman doing that? Maybe to give herself credibility down the road when Paul and Silas would leave. Maybe it was to cause attention to herself that she was one of them. And when those guys leave, they would come to her instead. Don't know. But they realized this woman was possessed. They cast the demon out of her and she could no longer tell her fortunes either. So I really believe that, again, the gift of discerning of spirits is really important in the church. Not all that say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Scott, your thoughts.
That's exactly right, Mike. And, you know, Mike, I teach a men's discipleship group on Thursday nights where we get really intense into the Bible. And it's interesting because I was sharing with them this very thing last week because we were actually talking about the gifts of the Spirit and speaking in tongues and prophecy and that sort of thing. And it was amazing because I was able to take them to 1 Corinthians 14 and I was able to show them how to discern when someone speaks in tongues, whether it's authentic or not, and whether the interpretation is authentic or not. And the reason we could is because of what Paul explains there when he says anyone who speaks in tongues is speaking to God, not to men. And so when you understand what the Bible has to say about any given subject or anything, then you are able to have the discernment you need when you do see something or hear something to not be, deceived by it or swayed by it. And then on top of that also, you know, John told us in 1 John, he said that each of us as believers, we have the Holy Spirit, which means we have an anointing from the Spirit of God that we are able to discern truth and error. You know, there's just sometimes, Mike, and, you know, even for new Christians who don't know much Bible, sometimes they can even discern when there's something hokey pokey going on just because of the Holy Spirit in them is showing them that, hey, this is not right. And so, you know, between knowing the Word of God, which I think is crucial for all of us, and the Holy Spirit that's within us, we have everything that we need to be able to discern truth from error. Mike?
Hope that answers it for you. Let's go to Sherry, Appleton, Wisconsin, and hi and welcome.
Hello, gentlemen.
How
may we help? Hi, Pastor
Hello.
Scott. This is Sherry from Appleton, Wisconsin, that came and visited you in April of 23.
Yes, we've been missing you.
Yes.
Long drive on a Saturday night.
Yeah. So
it's good to hear your voice.
I have a question about James 5:14, please, where it says, if any man is sick, have him go to the elders of the church and have them anoint him with oil and pray. I'm wondering if that is, I was told that that was just for physical sickness. And I'm wondering if that is also if you feel like you are suffering with a mental illness.
I believe it's for anything. Your thoughts?
I do too. And Sherry, the reason I say that is because when you look that word up in the Greek, that word doesn't just mean physically sick, but that word literally means to be weak. And it's used in the New Testament, you know, in different ways, people who are weak in faith. And so, you know, if a person mentally has an issue where maybe it may be something in their brain that's diseased or sick or wrong, or, you know, again, if it's a mental issue that has something to do with the mind, I do believe that it's very appropriate for us to anoint them with oil and pray over them and ask the Lord to restore their mind, because he can do that. Jesus did it for people, you know, when he was on the earth, put people in the right mind. And I don't see why we shouldn't have the faith to lay hands on people and anoint them with oil, those who are weak in their mind, and ask Jesus to heal them still today, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And, you know, I also think, too, that one of the ways, too, that we can help as Christians is with people who have mental illnesses is to pray for them, as you said, but also to help teach them what the Bible says, is to be able to help them to understand how to deal with their emotions and how to deal with the different thoughts that they have that are either ungodly or unbiblical, or that are just outright out there, is for us to help to renew their mind, because the renewing of the mind comes as we learn the Word of God and we hide the Word of God in our heart, because what we believe in our mind is going to determine our behavior, what we do. But yeah, I think it's very appropriate, because that word doesn't just mean physically sick. It does mean that, but it also means weak. And there are many people who are, quote, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but weak-minded. They do have a mental issue, and I think we should pray for them. And Mike, I know right back in there's so many testimonies, like Mike McIntosh back in the early days of Calvary Chapel in the Jesus movement, where people came there because of drugs and things. I mean, they had some serious
mental issues. And they got
issues,
healed. They got and Jesus absolutely healed.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And this is also when Jesus held up the cup and the bread. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. And this is quoting, Peter says, by his stripes we are healed, quoting the Old Testament. And then the cup, of course, his blood, forgiving our sins and giving us new life. Very clearly, it goes beyond just I got a cold or I got cancer. I believe it's for our mind, our soul, our spirit. We're very complex beings. We're created in the image of God. We're a body, mind, and spirit. And I believe all three of those need maintenance from our loving Father. So I hope that helps.
It does. Thank you so much. Hope to see you again soon, Scott.
You got it, Sherry. Hope to see you too.
Sherry, God bless you. Stay online and send you out some books and DVDs. Let's go to sunny West Valley City, Utah. Hi, welcome.
Hello?
Hello,
I got a... Hello?
Yes, hi, Sonny.
Yeah, I was just wondering on ICF 401. I don't know what they all about.
It's because the wars had so decimated the men that there would be seven women, eight women begging a man to marry them, to take away their reproach, it says. And, of course, the reproach, not having children. And, of course, the decimation of the nation of Israel. The wars were very, very hard on the men, very hard on again, the soldiers, many of them killed. And so it left a real deficit for husbands, for the single women. Your thoughts?
That's exactly right, Mike. And I don't think I can add anything to that, because it's basically about the daughters of Zion, who are the women there of Israel and of Judah and such. And so that's exactly the context. That's exactly what it is. So
now there are religions that take this verse and try to some way justify polygamy.
Yeah.
And I think we need to be very, very careful of that. That is out of context. That is not what it's talking about. And so it's talking about men being the number of men because of the wars being so reduced that the ratio was one man to seven women. And a lot of the men that were left were ones that could not fight. Either they were old or they were in some way too young or whatever. This was where part of the problem was. So it was a real issue in the nation of Israel. I hope that answers it for you, Sonny.
Not a spiritual route.
Well, that is what that verse is about. And Sonny, stay in line. If you're welcome to call back tomorrow, stay in line. We'll send you out some books and DVDs. We're all out of time. Scott, thank you so much for being part of the program today. Look forward to being back with all of you tomorrow. So till then, God bless you and good night. Copy of today's
program. Please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.